This is the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Coming up, the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission approved new rules Monday that advocates say will help protect wildlife from new energy development. First, these headlines. Mesa County's hospitals are at close to capacity for intensive care unit beds, but if COVID cases continue to spike, plans are in place to double the number of ICU beds, reports the Grand Junction Sentinel. To reduce the number of patients needing hospitalization, medical experts say it's key to protect the people most vulnerable to COVID-19. Older people and those with underlying medical conditions are more likely to experience a severe case. Meanwhile, the city of Ouray is reporting an outbreak among town employees with two reported cases. Ouray County has had a total of 103 cases, half of them within just the past 2 weeks. Republican Congresswoman-elect Lauren Boebert of Rifle has asked Washington, D.C. Capitol Police about carrying her gun on Capitol grounds, reports the Associated Press. Lawmakers are allowed to carry weapons under decades-old congressional regulations, although the public is barred from doing so in the Capitol. Boebert typically appears in public with a Glock on her hip. She was elected to represent Colorado's 3rd Congressional District earlier this month. Last week, Denver City Council gave initial approval for the police and sheriff's department to upgrade their body cameras over the next few years, buying cameras that automatically start recording every time an officer or deputy draws their gun. Officers are supposed to wear body cameras and record most incidents, from traffic stops to shootings, according to the department's operations manual. Cameras help officers solve crimes, train new officers, and exonerate or charge them with wrongdoing. But as Denverite reports, officers don't always press record. Last year, 49 violent interactions with members of the public were not captured on body cameras, according to the Office of the Independent Monitor. Still, body cameras recorded 93% of all use of force incidents last year, far more often than 2016, the first full year of Denver police wearing body cameras, when only 15% of violent incidents were caught on film. Three coal-burning power plants in Colorado face orders to close early, reports the Colorado Sun. Tri-State, Xcel, and Platte River Power were slated to close by 2030, but Colorado air quality regulators say it must be done earlier. Last week, they proposed moving the deadline up by 2 years to cut regional haze and meet targets for reducing greenhouse gases. A final vote on the new deadline is planned for December. A San Diego company announced November 24th that it plans to proceed with a liquefied natural gas export plant in Baja California, Mexico. That could help lead to an eventual rebound of natural gas drilling in the Piance Basin, reports the Grand Junction Sentinel. Sempra Energy's decision to build the Costa Azul plant, which would be partly supplied by gas produced in the western United States, comes as natural gas prices already are becoming more favorable for Piance producers. COVID-19 is taking a toll on many grand traditions, ranging from Thanksgiving gatherings to the facial hair of ski patrollers. Male ski patrollers in Colorado ski areas have had to shave their cherished beards so they can properly wear N95 respirator masks, according to a New York Times story. Although most patrollers see it as a small inconvenience for the sake of safety, they bemoan the loss of the facial fuzz that helps protect them from high winds and blowing snow. The Silver Lining, reports one longtime Breckenridge patroller, is that the newly bare-faced men look a lot younger and less weathered. A group of Lake City residents have joined together in an effort to buy land on Lake San Cristobal in hopes of turning it into public open space. For KVNF News, Laura Palmisano reports.
Great Outdoors Colorado, or GOCO, recently awarded a $1.3 million grant to help with the purchase of an island and peninsula on the lake outside of town. Lake City resident Ivan Cook is taking part in the effort to buy the 10.3 acres.
The very first time my wife and I even visited Lake City, we were out at Lake San Cristobal driving around, you know, taking in the beauty, and came up on the current boat dock that the county owns and immediately saw the island, right? And we thought, what an amazingly beautiful space. I can't believe that this is, you know, privately owned. It should be a park.
Cook has since joined a local group called Friends of Lake San Cristobal. The group is spearheading a fundraiser to get the rest of the money needed to purchase the land. He says the group formed after hearing the county was working to acquire the property.
I just couldn't believe it. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, I think, to get this special place and secure it for the public use.
Cook says the group launched LakeSanCristobal.com, a website where people can donate to the project through the Trust for Public Land or Hinsdale County. They also have a Facebook page under Friends of Lake San Cristobal. Hinsdale County would own the property and open it up to the public. County officials say there would be limited development on the land because of a conservation easement. As of last week, the group raised $50,000. However, they need to raise another $150,000 by December 15th to make the sale happen. Reporting from Lake City, I'm Laura Palmisano.
Allegations of negligence are part of a $270 million wrongful death claim against the National Park Service after an accident in Utah's Arches National Park earlier this year. The Mountain West News Bureau's Bo Baker reports.
Esther Nakajigo was decapitated when high winds blew an unsecured metal gate closed, unexpectedly cutting through the car she was riding in with her husband. The claim says Arches should have secured the gate with a lock, thereby preventing it from swinging out into traffic. Tennille Brown is a professor of law at the University of Utah.
In theory, you can sue the National Park Service for a death that occurs due to negligence.
Historically, the federal government is protected from civil suits under the Doctrine of Sovereign Immunity, but the Federal Tort Claims Act of the 1940s waived some of that immunity to a limited extent.
The big question here is going to be in this case whether or not the failure to have the padlock on the gate is considered a discretionary function.
If yes, it would allow the feds to retain protection. Brown says these types of cases typically settle before they reach trial. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Bo Baker.
The Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission has approved a new set of rules that conservation groups say will help greatly in efforts to protect wildlife from new energy development. Lily Bulkey reports for the Colorado News Connection.
Last year, Colorado passed legislation installing paid professional regulators as commissioners, and John Gale, conservation director for Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, says this was the first big test of the new commission. The major changes include requiring new development to be 2,000 feet away from schools or homes, and limiting development near waterways and wildlife. Gale says that will increase stream buffers in Colorado by almost 10 times.
For the last 65 years, they've been operating with the stated intent of fostering the oil and gas industry in Colorado. What these rules will usher in is a much needed balance in consideration for things like fish and wildlife.
Gale says energy development isn't off the table in Colorado, but some key resources are too important to risk by allowing drilling or other development nearby. He says it's also crucial to protect migration corridors that big game animals rely on to travel between their winter and summer ranges. Gale says Colorado is home to incredible natural resources and beautiful landscapes that draw people to the state for recreation and quality of life. But some of the same resources also attract energy developers. And he notes Colorado's waterways feed lower basin states like Arizona as well.
We want to make sure that we're doing our job upstream to ensure that people downstream of us are benefiting from the actions that we take up here, too.
Gale says these rule changes have been a long time coming. He hopes future stewards of Colorado's land and natural resources will also take into account the balance between industry, recreation, and conservation. Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. For Colorado News Connection, I'm Lily Bulkey.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Special thanks to KVNF News Editor Jody Peterson. Thanks to our KVNF members. And thank you for listening.